Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can everybody hear me? I think we're going to get ready to get started. I'll stand over here by the food so that everybody sees where I am. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Hogarth. I'm one of the senior directors of the ICANN Policy Development Support Team, and also have some community engagement responsibilities, which somehow qualifies me to hold the microphone today. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but thank you, Steve, and other organizers to sort of encourage me to kick things off this morning. A little bit loud, does that work? But then I can't see you, Steve, so it makes it a little more difficult. I'm standing over here to try to make a point about the atmosphere of the next couple of days. I could be standing over there or here or over there. The point is this is a circle, somewhat squared off, but the idea being that there is no head to the table. The idea is to bring all of you members of the non-contracted parties, House leadership together to collaborate, work together, build bridges, identify areas of commonality, work together to identify areas where if there are differences, how you might achieve some consensus. This is a relatively new concept for ICANN. This is our second non-contracted parties house meeting. The first one took place 2 years ago in Los Angeles. Some have already observed that the decision to have the second meeting in Washington, D.C., at least from a weather perspective, may not have been the best one. But it's nice for you all to come to a different place, at least from a Washington perspective. It's really nice to have all of you here, and a number of us did not have to travel. I hope that we'll be able to do these types of meetings again, but the important thing is that you all really help us understand what works for these types of meetings, what doesn't work, how we can improve them, how we can, you know, basically do a better job when we bring you all together and to make these meetings the most efficient and productive as possible. So I'm hopeful you'll have that spirit throughout the next couple of days as well. What I'd like to do as sort of an introduction is give you a lay of the land in terms of some of the logistics. We'll do a quick review of today's agenda. And then sort of flow into our first session or two. This is designed to be a meeting where most of the time you are all together, and it's worked out pretty well that most of the time we're here in this room together. There will be a couple of breakout sessions that I'll flag for you, but for the most part, this is going to be our place. If you need a restroom, they're down on the far end of the hallway near the coat racks. So those of you who are a little bit too bunched up, and I apologize for some of the squeezing here, we can put our coats down on the racks and the hangers down at the end of the hallway. So there's an opportunity to do that. In many respects, you'll see from the agenda, we're flowing right through. We've got some good break times around lunch. But otherwise, please feel free from time to time if you have to get up and take a break, take a call or something like that, please feel free to do that and step out of the room. Am I leaving anything out, Carlos or Reed? I think that's pretty much from a logistics standpoint. You do know that from the perspective of ICANN's tradition of remote participation, and because we do have a tight room here, not everybody could participate that you would have liked to have participated. We have an Adobe Connect chat room, which we're always going to have displayed up there on the screen. I imagine that many of you will have logged in and will be observing or being able to have chats with some of your colleagues who are not here in person. So if for some reason Carlos or I miss a comment someone wants to make, or if there's someone out outside of the meeting who would like to make a comment, if you can direct that through one of your representatives here or raise your hand and we'll do our best to have people participate remotely. But we want to try to get a good back and forth dialogue in the room. Is there anything? Yes, Aubrey.
It sounds like someone may already be watching that and have their sound on, because we are getting an echo as you speak.
Reed, if we could check into that, I don't know. That's
just people should make sure they're
some
muted.
Of the speakers, if you can turn off your laptop speakers, that would be great. Usually when that happens, we end up not with just a nice little echo, but some terrible interference. I'm glad that hasn't happened yet. And a quick apology to those who are participating remotely. Reed is holding up the camera for the room, so if any of you are getting motion sickness, it's his fault, not mine. I'm doing my best, Reed, not to start walking around to emphasize the table and the round concept. Let's do a quick review of the agenda if we can. As you know, this is a two-day meeting, and the planners who did a tremendous job over the last 3 or 4 months developing the agenda, trying to work through things, have constantly been challenged, particularly over the last week or so, with some changes and differences in speakers and things like that. So I appreciate you all being flexible. I did share a note with the planners about 2 or 3 days ago, thanking them for their flexibility and noting that we will all need to remain flexible throughout the course of the next couple of days, just because we'll play around with the agenda and move things back and forth. We'll try not to do that too much because we recognize there are folks who are participating remotely who may have scheduled things based on some of the agenda items, so we'll do our best in that regard. Let me pause for a second and see if any of the meeting planners wanted to say a word or two. Anything from... Oh, thank you. I'm glad that Andrew mentioned that. We have set up a wiki page for this meeting. When you look on the community wiki under GNSO non-contract party house meetings, you'll see the wiki that has all of the remote participation information for the next 2 days, particularly for your colleagues who were not able to participate here in person. Please share that with them. I've done that. A couple of people have reached out to me, and I've shared that link with them. But that has all the information about what room we're using. The room address that Reed just shared with many of you is the Adobe Connect room that we'll use for most of the session. And I'll read it on the microphone one more time. ICANN.adobeconnect.com/community-engagement. Our first consensus item of the 2 days. Reed, if you can flip me to the next slide, I'll begin just a general overview for you all about what our day looks like today. Thank you all for joining us for breakfast. We're now doing the introductions and welcome. Then we'll move into plenary session one, followed by plenary session two. Again, an opportunity for you all to say, yes, we want to stop 5 minutes early and start 5 minutes later to allow for a little break. We can also push things a little bit into lunch. A number of you I know appreciated that we had reached out to Larry Strickling of NTIA for him to come speak with us today, but he's unable to do that. I have posited to the meeting organizers an alternative to that. Steve Crocker will be joining us for lunch, Teresa Swinehart. We also have Marcus here in the room. And so the opportunity potentially to talk a little bit about the accountability, ICANN accountability issue that Larry was prepared to speak on may also be something that you all want to talk about. But both of our lunches right now are set up to be quite informal in terms of you all deciding what you want to talk about and what the agenda might be. I'm seeing a questioning look from Mr. Andruff. Ron, is there any point that you wanted to make? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I wanted to address any questions. So that's the morning. That takes us through about 2 o'clock. Then the next slide, Reed. This afternoon, we're looking to connect with Fadi Chihadi. He'll be here from 2 to 4 o'clock. He may actually be here a little bit early during the lunch period. A lot depends on the weather and some of the other meetings he had that are being rescheduled or moved around a bit. But he'll definitely be here between the 1400 and 1600 time frame. And then what we've set up in the agenda is the opportunity for breakout sessions. The CSG is going to stay in this room, and then we have 2 rooms down on the conference level here at CSIS. Set up for the NCUC and the NPOC. We've got Adobe Connect rooms for those meetings for those of you who would like to take advantage of that, and we'll have full remote participation for those meetings. for Dan and Marcus, you might be invited to some of those sessions or just decide to float to either of those sessions if you'd like. I'm sure you'd be most welcomed by the community leaders for those areas. Then, you know, give you an opportunity to head back to your hotels across the street or locally freshen up a bit. We were able to swing a reception for this evening across the street at the Beacon Hotel in the Overlook Room, so we would really like to have you all join us for that if you can. That's scheduled for about 2 hours or so. And then something odd, Carlos, I think it's still scheduled. The hotel, for those of you who are there, it's called Sip and Swing or something odd. There's some karaoke thing next door or in the hotel that I'm sure some of you would just love to take advantage of after a relaxing reception. So that's what our day looks like so far today. Again, this is your meeting. Staff is here to facilitate, help out where we can, but it's really your opportunity to engage, talk about the issues that are important to you, get to know each other and the rest. Before we start to move to anything specific, I would point out that for those of you who do have agendas, the meeting planners got together. We started a little bit late because I dragged them all outside. We're flipping the two plenary sessions. So the group wants to lead off with the internal discussions, and so that's what we'll do. And then we'll move to we'll flip the session and then talk about the GNSO review and the other matter when we get to that. So Reed and Carlos, we'll just have to pay attention to that when we're looking at our slides. A number of you thought it was very important, particularly if you try to look across the room at someone else's name tag, that it's kind of difficult to do so. And so we thought that we would give everybody an opportunity around the room to introduce themselves, say whatever you would like about your organization or why you're here, but we thought that would be a really good way to sort of start things off, break the ice a little bit. Don't worry, we're not doing any breakout sessions where we're team building or anything like that. Just very simple, hi, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so, and we're more than happy to do that. But again, feel free to expand if you'd like. We have mics spread around, but I think what I'll do is I'll just walk around and offer to hand the mic to some folks if they'd like to use that. And we're going to start with Mr. Drake, who I'm standing behind, and we're going to go this direction. So, Jonathan, you'll be next.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very nervous. I've never spoken like this before. So, I'm Bill Drake, and I teach at the University of Zurich, and I'm the chair of the non-commercial users constituency. Or I can pass it this way.
Either way. Jonathan Zook from ACT, the App Association, and member of the IPC, and I'm here the result of a plot reminiscent of Showgirls, because through some suspicious circumstances, one of our members isn't able to make it, and so I'm here at the show, and I hope I don't let anybody down.
I'm not sure I can follow that introduction. I'm Dan Reed. I'm a NomCom appointee to the GNSO Council. Look forward to discussion today.
Hi, I'm Adrian Ho from Extensia in England. We organize conferences and business summits around ICT and telecoms in Africa predominantly. And I'm here really to see how we can involve more of the internet governance elements towards the events we organize in Africa. Thank you.
It's Waleed Al-Sakaf, an NCUC member, kindly invited to attend this first meeting of its kind. I'm from Yemen, but based in Sweden, where I'm a postdoctoral fellow in media and communications. I've been involved in ICANN through the ICANN Fellowship, which I'm grateful for. It introduced me to this world, confusing rather, and yet there's much learning to do. I'm also involved in the Arab IGF, and I'm also a proud ISOC chapter leader, the Yemen chapter. Thank you.
Hello, good morning. My name is Klaus Stoll. I would like to wish my mother and my father... I'm sorry, that was last night. I'm a member of the NPOC, and Executive Committee, and the reason why I'm here is quite simply because I believe in the multi-sector process, and that's where we need to go.
Good morning. My name is Rudy Vansnik. I'm the chair of NPOC, and the reason why I'm here is not to just fill up a seat, but try to bring some value to the discussions and look forward to take away from here all the positive elements that we are going to discuss and leave the negative ones here.
I'm Sam Lanfranco, policy chair, committee chair for INPOC. I'm here to help, as others, move things forward.
Hello, I'm Martin. I'm the secretary of the INPOC. I'm a lawyer in Argentina. I specialize in internet law. I do teach and research in my hometown university, and I collaborate with many NGOs from the region in internet-related matters. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joan Kerr, and I haven't been on any other committees, but it just so happened that I ended up being on one of the best committees because our members are really friendly and really helpful, and that's, that committee is the MPOC. So thank you for inviting me. I'm the membership chair for that committee, and my role and intention is to create value and engagement for the members and to consistently inform them, and I think that that's what the committee wants to do, so I'm happy to be here to learn where we're going and how we're doing it and to meet many of you. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Zuan Zhang, and I come from Beijing, China. Recently, I was elected to the Executive Committee of NCUC. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew Mack. I'm with AM Global Consulting here in Washington. Welcome to our fair city. Sorry about the weather. And I'm a BC member, a longtime veteran of work with ICANN and IGF, and a specialist in work with emerging markets and with outreach.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Greg Shatton. I'm a member of the intellectual property constituency. I'm an attorney based in New York, currently with the law firm of Abelman, Frayn & Schwab. I'm intellectual property and technology transactions attorney. In the IPC, I serve as the IPC's participation coordinator. I'm also representing the commercial stakeholder group on the INA transition, CWG, and also on a couple of other working groups and the like. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Heather Forrest. I've come from Melbourne, Australia. I'm guaranteed to win the longest in the plane award. I am a Gina So councillor representing the intellectual property constituency, and I was involved in the first intersessional, so I'm very interested to see what we can do in version 2.0. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Susan Payne. I'm also from the IPC. I'm an IP lawyer based in London working for Valadeus, which is a consultancy which works with brand new GTLD applicants.
I'm John McElwain. I'm an attorney based in Charleston, South Carolina. I also have an office in Washington, D.C. As you can tell from the weather, I spend most of my time in Charleston, but do enjoy being up here when I can. I'm an IP lawyer, as I said. I've been on the IPC for about 6 years now and have served with a number of you on various committees within ICANN, including I just rotated off of the nominating committee for ICANN. And I really think my purpose, my goal here is to listen, to learn a lot, and hopefully be able to contribute to some of the dialogue.
Hi, I'm Kieran Malantar-Uville, trademark attorney based in San Francisco. I am the policy counselor at Mark Monitor and a member of the IPC. Did I say that? I am here to kind of take advantage of this unique opportunity to have a smaller group discussion with our colleagues. Really looking forward to making progress on our, you know, relationship and working together to ensure that we continue to have a voice here at ICANN. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Marcus Kummer. Thanks to you, I'm a board member of ICANN since the LA meeting. Thanks for inviting me here, and I'm here mainly in a listening mode, and I look forward to our discussions.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Perrin. I'm one of the newly elected GNSO counselors, relatively new to ICANN, recently retired from the Canadian federal government, where I spent 35 years on information policy issues. And so I'm no longer gainfully employed. I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of Toronto Faculty of Information. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Shears of the Center for Democracy and Technology, and a member of NCSG.
Hi, I'm David Cake. I'm a member of NCSG, and as at least the councillors will be aware, one of the currently vice chair of the one of the vice chairs of the GNSO council. I have to say, Heather, you said you were guaranteed to be the person who travelled the longest, but I have you beaten by the length of Australia because I'm from the West Coast. So I think I'm have a fair claim to have travelled the furthest. I'm particularly keen for this meeting. I'm the vice chair, but besides Marcus's position on the board, it's one of the two positions that's elected from the entire from both stakeholder groups. And I'm definitely keen to see us work more constructively to, across the stakeholder groups and constituencies is what I'd like to see out of this meeting. Thank you.
My name is João Carlos Rebelo Caribe. I'm from Brazil. I'm representing here NSUC. I was elected to executive committee for NSUC this time. And my first time is the meeting, and I here completely committed to NSUC agenda.
Hi, everyone. My name is Grace Gidaiga from the Kenya ICT Action Network. I'm based in Nairobi, and I'm here as a member of the NCUC representing Africa.
I'm Tony Holmes, long-term member of the ISPCP, based in London, UK. I currently chair the constituency, and I'm also currently sitting on GNSO Council.
Yes, my name is Tony Harris. I'm the executive director of the Argentina Internet Association, CABASE, and also the Latin America Federation of the Internet and Electronic Commerce, ECOMLAC. And I am a member of the ISPCP since ICANN was formed, actually. So I'm not exactly a newcomer, we might say.
Good morning. My name is Osvaldo Novoa. I am Deputy General Director of Antel. It's a telecommunications provider in Uruguay. I am in the Internet Service Providers and Connectivity Providers constituency, and I'm a member of the GNSO Council for them.
Thank you. I'm Avri Doria. I am an independent itinerant researcher. I'm a member of the NCSG, and I'm on the council, the GNSO Council for NCSG, and I'm here because I was asked to be here.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Marile Maciel. I am a researcher, and I coordinate the Center for Technology and Society, which is one of the research centers of Getúlio Vargas Foundation in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I'm a GNSO Council member representing NCSG. I've been working with internet governance mostly in UN-related spaces for almost 10 years now. And more recently, I've been in Net Mundial Executive Committee, and I'm also part of the Coordination Council of Net Mundial Initiative, as curious and looking forward as you to know how the initiative is going to move forward constructively. And I'm really looking forward to our discussions here and to learn with you. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Rafik Damak. I'm from Tunisia, but living in Japan, and I work as an engineer. I am here as the chair of the NCIG, and I hope that we can make some progress, in the non-contracted party house.
Good morning. I'm Steve Metallitz. Perhaps I'm the only native of Washington, D.C. around this table. I do live in this area. I'm a lawyer, and a copyright lawyer, primarily representing trade associations, individuals, and membership groups that depend on copyright protection. I've been a member of the intellectual property constituency since its founding, and currently, somewhat to my chagrin, am serving as the acting president of the constituency until a permanent president is selected. I'm looking forward to our discussions today, and I want to thank all of the people who worked with us on the planning of this. I think it was a good example. We worked well collaboratively, and I hope that's a good omen for some constructive and productive conversations over the next 2 days.
Good morning. My name is Alain Bidron. I come from France. I'm based in Paris, where I'm in charge of numbering, naming, of addressing for the Orange Group, and I am a member of the ISPCP constituency.
Good morning, all. My name is Jimson Olufuye. I run as CEO of Contemporary, an IT consulting company based in Abuja. That's my day job. And my community work is as the chair of the Africa ICT Alliance of up to 20 African country ICT private sector stakeholders. I'm also a member of the BC. I'm the vice chair of finance and operations. I'm looking forward to finding some solution to banking issues here, maybe some of us that are involved in banking activities for members, and also to evolve a new spirit for the community working together moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade, and if, in fact, you like ICANN, you can blame me, Becky Burr, Tony Holmes, Antonio Harris, and a few other people, and Steve Metalitz. I'm here because I'm very interested in the continued evolution and enhancement of the role of the non-contracted participants in ICANN. When we set ICANN up, we debated the concept of ensuring that ICANN would act in the public interest in the decisions that it took. And it's really clear that we're in a unique window of opportunity to evolve ICANN, perhaps not just to ICANN 2.0, but to ICANN 3.0 with a true commitment to bottom-up consensus-based decision-making, not only in policy, but in governance. And my passion is really about how we work together to strengthen ICANN governance so that there's a broad, diverse group of voices and participants from all around the world that are making sure this unique multi-stakeholder organization thrives but fits within its core mission and not tries to encroach in everybody else's mission.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ron Andruff. I'm a fellow Canadian of Stephanie and also my Sam and other colleagues, so it's nice to for me to make that comment simply because these are colleagues who are sitting in other constituencies. I've been with ICANN from the early days as well, a little long in the tooth like many here who have been working in the trenches, and we've watched ICANN grow from a few hundred people at a meeting. I recall one of my first meetings in Uruguay, there were four or five people in each room, and those were the constituencies. So we've come a long ways where we have meetings of thousands of people. So for me, I was very grateful to have this opportunity to have an intersessional to come together with colleagues in our house because we find ourselves with very different viewpoints on many ICANN issues, but we are all part of a group, a body. So for me to have this opportunity to come and spend time, meet each one of you and see if we can create more inroads and develop more relationships, because it's all about the relationships we have with each other that where the policy begins. And so that's why I'm here, member of the BC, as I mentioned, and also the chair-elect in the for the nominating committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Miller, and I'm an attorney with Verizon. I am a newcomer to ICANN, and so I really look forward to getting to know some of you better, to working with you, and also to learning from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm grabbing the microphone to offer it to Jessica.
Hi, I'm Jessica Jones. I'm with British Telecom, and I'm also newer to ICANN, so I'm here in listening mode, but I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
Hi, I'm Susan Kawaguchi. I am a domain name manager for Facebook and BC counselor, and I'm glad to be here.
Hello, my name is Lori Schulman, and I'm the general counsel to ASCD, which is a nonprofit organization based here in the Metro DC area. We do educational publishing as our main source of fundraising. I am here as a member of the NCSG Executive Committee, as well as the vice chair of MPOC. And the reason I'm here in general is I feel that there is a lot more that unites us rather than divides us, particularly among the people in this room, in how we approach the issues of accountability, transparency, consistency, and fairness across the spectrum of ICANN issues. And I echo Marilyn's sentiment that I'm particularly interested in governance. How we govern, how we are governed, how we organize our processes is key to our success, particularly in a year of transition.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stefania Milan. I'm an academic with the University of Amsterdam, and I'm here representing the non-commercial user constituency, and in particular, I was appointed to represent Europe in the Executive Committee on NCUC. And it is my first intersessional meeting, and with so much history in the room, I feel really like a newcomer, even if I've been around ICANN for a couple of years. So please remember that there are also some people who are not extremely familiar with all the acronyms. Thank you.
Hi, I am Jen Taylor-Hodges. I'm with BT, heading up our Washington office here, and part of the ISPCP.
Hi, my name is Phil Morano. I'm an intellectual property law attorney, also an IPC member. And contrary to what the program says, I am not with Thomson Reuters, Mark Wanger. I'm with Katten, Muchin, Rosenman. It's a IP firm in Georgetown.
Good morning. My name is Eduardo Parajo. I'm from Brazil. I'm representing Abranet. Abranet is a Brazilian association for Internet. So I'm happy to hear. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Del Bianco from Washington, D.C. So my 30-minute commute turned into 2 hours this morning because in Washington, we can't drive in the rain. A lot of you know that. I'm also the executive director of NetChoice, Trade Association of Internet Companies based here in Washington. I'm a member of the business constituency where I serve as the vice chair for policy coordination. And on this cross-community working group that Marilyn mentioned on accountability, I represent the commercial stakeholders group. Marilyn said that working group is a window of opportunity. Well, it is a window from which I have been tempted to leap several times in the last couple of weeks as we try to get our traction and move ahead. But I think we'll have a next couple of days to talk more about that.
And my name is John Berard. I am an independent business consultant based here in the United States and a member of the business constituency.
I was hoping to get all the papers handed out before. You know, I was expecting a 10-minute introduction from Mr. Berard, and I was somewhat surprised by that. Carlos and I have begun to hand out a document that Mr. Metallitz drafted up. So as that gets distributed around the room, we'll be prepared to hit plenary session number one. Just one final note for everybody. Again, thank you very much for going around the room. We are going to be logging everybody who is participating remotely as well for the record of this meeting. And that's going to be, a permanent part of the wiki. Right now, if you wanted to go back and see who participated and what the documents were for the 2013 meeting, you could do that. I would hope that 2-3 years from now, you'll be able to go back and look at the record from this meeting as well. It might be useful for ICANN historians in the future. But again, I just wanted to acknowledge those of you who may be participating remotely, that we will have you logged and make sure that we recognize that you participated in the meeting as well. I think we've been able to make the round now.
Excuse me, Rob. This is Benedetta speaking. Can you hear me?
I can, Benedetta.
Can you please just allow the remote participants to introduce themselves as well for the record, please? There's Gabriella who would like to speak.
Certainly. And anyone else remotely who would like to say hello, please do so. Gabriella, you first.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Excellent. So, hello, everyone. I'm so sorry that I'm not there with you. My name is Gabriela Slack, and I'm from Argentina. I'm one of the GNSO counselors representing the business constituency, and the organization that I represent at Instituto is Instituto, sorry. The name in Spanish is Instituto Latinoamericano de Comercio Electrónico. I always like to say this in Spanish. And we are still the only Latin American member of the business constituency, and we are really working to change this. Instituto is a federation of e-commerce chambers in Latin America, and we develop many initiatives, and the ones related to ICANN are in particular e-governanza, which is focused on bringing the Latin American voices of these companies as users of the Internet into our community. So I'm really looking forward to work with you. I'm really sorry again that I'm not there. Thank you.
Thank you. Benedetta, I'll let you run the queue for anybody who's remotely since you're helping us in that regard.
Yes, I can follow.
My name is Wolf-Ulrich Knoben. I'm also sorry not to be with you. Here I'm sitting in Germany and have just time today to follow the meeting. I'm with the ISPCP constituency, and I used to be in the Geneso Council and the vice chair of the Geneso Council before. And it's, from that time, I know what the real problem for this meeting is, this is just building trust. I think that's the basic what should be done at those meetings. And I hope and wish you all much success for that. Thank you.
Thank you. I notice also that we have Desiree is in the remote room. I don't know if you would like to say anything.
Rob, Desiree is not actually on the audio bridge, so she cannot speak. But we have
okay,
Michael Graham, who could, if he wants to speak next.
Yes, very quickly. Good morning, everyone. Michael Graham. I'm on the IPC. I am Global Intellectual Property Director of Expedia here in Seattle, so I'm up a bit early this morning. I was going to attend. Unfortunately, my business has kept me away, but I'm very interested in how the group works together to build these bridges in both communication and getting work done. And I appreciate the opportunity to monitor the meetings and participate where appropriate. Thank you.
Benedetta, anybody else? We'll close off the remote introductions. Hearing nothing else, we're ready for plenary session one. Can you flip up plenary session two? Thanks. The planners agreed, and thank you, Steve, for noting that we flipped one and two. Pay no attention to the time frames up there, other than to note that we've got this discussion up until 11 o'clock. Again, as you're going through the conversations, if it looks like it's running longer, we can adjust the time frame. The key is to be able to give you the opportunity to go through the various issues that you've identified. For the CSG, I think, Steve, you are taking leadership on this. You're shaking your head. No, Tony is going to handle the internal discussion, and I believe, Rafiq, you are going to be the discussion leader from the non-commercial side. So, gentlemen, I'll turn it over to you. I think everybody has their paperwork. You can either talk from there, or if you want the microphone, I'd be happy to share it with you.
Ron,
Thanks, Rob. Maybe easier if I share this, and Rafiq, if you use your mic there, then we can see everybody. Do you want something else, Marilyn?
I just wanted to verify that the mics in front of us work.
Yeah. Okay, so I think there are two main issues for this session. There is the paper that's been circulated that is a copy of an email that Steve sent across before this meeting started.
We might want to move one side or the other just because
we're... Okay. And The other main item is the budget item. So if we start with the first one, if I can open up, Steve, by asking you to just give us a quick update of where we are with this.
Thank you very much, Tony. This is Steve Metallitz. I mentioned the planning group that brought this agenda together, and one of the first things we talked about was using this meeting to improve the functioning of our house, both in terms of our constitutional duties, if you will, which David has already referred to, the two posts we're required to fill, and also in terms of our discussion of other issues that are affecting ICANN, policy issues, and otherwise. There was unanimous agreement that this was one thing we wanted to focus on, and there was also a sense that it would be helpful if we had some discussion prior to this meeting, or at least got some issues set up for discussion at this meeting. I can't say we really have had a robust discussion among the planning group about a number of these issues, take advantage of that opportunity to put forward a couple of ideas to help to structure our discussion, and these are have been endorsed by the leadership of the commercial stakeholder group, and I know they've been discussed as well within the non-commercial stakeholder group. So there are two issues on the paper before you, and we can discuss them in whichever order seems most appropriate. One is our obligation to select every year a vice chair of the GNSO Council, which role which David Cake currently holds and has is now in his second year. We have spent a lot of time on this, frankly, over the years. Each time it comes up, we have to more or less ad hoc figure out how we're going to make this selection and what are the ground rules and so forth. And I think, frankly, we can probably use our time more effectively working on substantive issues. So what I've proposed is a method for dealing with this going forward, which is that we would alternate the commercial side and the non-commercial side having the privilege to nominate a candidate, and if that candidate received a majority of the votes, and as we're currently structured, that's 7 votes out of 13, 6 from each stakeholder group and then 1 from the NCA, then so long as somebody receives 7 votes and at least 1 vote from each side to show that it wasn't simply the candidate of one side, that person would serve as the vice chair. And the next year, the other side would have the privilege to nominate someone for that election. It wouldn't necessarily, by the way, have to be someone from that side of the House. It could be someone else. I'm also suggesting that we have an understanding that in effect we are agreeing to a rotation here, and unless there's a very compelling reason, excuse me, for the side which doesn't nominate that year to reject the nominee, unless there is such a compelling reason, they would provide sufficient support in order to meet that election threshold. Finally, as part of this, and this has been discussed in the last election cycle or two, we'd like to set a clear and common expectation about the role of the vice chair in keeping both sides of the House informed and being available to answer questions about council activities and so forth, so that the expectation would be that if either side wished to meet with the vice chair by phone once a quarter or less often, then the vice chair would commit to doing that. So that's the first topic. The second topic has to do with is more of a structural question. As we approach each ICANN meeting, there are certain slots that everybody knows. You know, we're going to have a GNSO Council session in the 2 days prior to, or GNSO workshops 2 days prior to the meeting. We know we'll have Constituency Day on Tuesdays when our various constituencies and sometimes stakeholder groups meet, et cetera. And the proposal here is that we hardwire into that process having a one-hour meeting of at least the leadership of the non-contracted party's House, and the leadership would work out the specific agenda items that are relevant to that meeting. It could decide if it wished maybe to have a broader meeting if logistically that's feasible at the meeting site. But just so we'd all have an expectation that there would be this meeting and a place where we could come and discuss issues, whatever they happen to be, of current concern to the groups represented in the non-contracted party's House. The proposal is that this not begin with Singapore, which is only 3 or 4 weeks away, and it's not really feasible, perhaps, to get this on the schedule, but that starting with the next meeting in Buenos Aires, that we would make sure this was part of the schedule, and it would be the job of the leadership of both of the stakeholder groups to figure out the agenda. So that briefly summarizes these proposals. As I said, they're put forward to stimulate discussion, and I'm looking forward to that now. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. So we have two proposals that have been put forward on two separate issues. The first one is one that we've all struggled with, and it takes lots of resource and effort every time we come up against it. I think that's probably going to generate more discussion, so I would suggest we take the second one first, which is the proposal to hardwire in a meeting at the ICANN meeting. So does anybody want to comment on that? Avery, please.
Well, I have an extended comment on the first one. On the second one, I'm wondering about the definition of leadership. Is this what we mean by leadership, or is it just the council members plus the executive committees? What do we mean by leadership?
It's a good question because I don't think it's defined. Steve, did you want to offer something on that?
I think that would be up to each side, really. I mean, on the CSG side, I assume we have an executive committee, which I assume would take the lead in doing this, and I don't know how it's organized on the other side, but I'm comfortable whichever way. It's really just to plan the agenda.
Okay, I saw Ron, I think, and then John. Ron?
Thank you. Marilyn Cade speaking. My comment is going to be about the idea of a hardwired meeting. I'll come back perhaps and make comments about the other topic later. ICANN meetings are increasingly so busy with events and topical agenda items where we need to be either coordinating among our own group or trying to deal with so many conflicts and overlaps of other meetings. While I support the idea of a discussion at the ICANN meetings, I think we need to be very pragmatic and realistic about the time that it would take and what it would compete with. On the issue of openness of the meeting, in the past, when we've had some of these meetings, we've had sort of designated coordinators but made the meetings open to any of our members who wanted to come in the room and observe. And I think that would continue to be really important because we are trying to model being a bottom-up organization, not just a top-down organization. So that brings me to the question of that means we have to ask ICANN to be able to make sure meeting space is available for this meeting and potentially try to squeeze it in on Saturday or Sunday when more of our members can attend. So while I also am not sure we need a meeting at every ICANN meeting, but I think maybe we ought to have a goal of establishing the meeting if we have an agenda doing it, but we are going to be competing with other work that is going on Saturday and Sunday, and I think we need to take that into account. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn. Bill?
May I step in while we're getting that mic organized?
No. I actually wanted to speak to the first point. That's but just on this point, quickly, we have met informally a number of times. We've had receptions together. Some of us have had dinner together, drinks together. I think it's good when we talk to each other. It builds bridges. I understand Marilyn's point. We would have to try to figure out how to put this. I mean, Constituency Day is already insane. So the only thing I can imagine would be a drink at the end of the day or a late session in any event, or else a breakfast session, which personally I find offensive on principle. But I'm totally open to whatever people want to do, whether they want to do it at the level of chairs or more open, it's totally fine by me.
Thanks. I've just been reminded that before you speak, can you identify yourself for the transcript? John.
Thank you, Tony. This is John Berard from the business constituency. I am in favor of hardwiring a meeting that would occur before Constituency Day and that would be open to anybody from the NCPH, the NICF, who would like to or feel compelled to attend. I do think that if we use perhaps the council as an analog, that the people around the table, there should be a specific guideline for how many from each are selected. But I think it would be a good idea to do. While there is a lot of random contact at the ICANN meetings, there really isn't very much formal discussion that actually could lead to increased collaboration or even the possibility of decision-making. As we know, that the more business and society rely upon the Internet, the greater the value of the face-to-face time that we do get.
Ron?
Thank you very much. Ron Andruff, Business Constituency. I echo a lot of the comments that have been made, and I want to go take it a step further. I congratulate you, Steve, for having brought this forward, because this is a really critical component. As we're seeing over the years, what happens within the ICANN body as a whole, within the community, is that there is so much work. One of the problems we had in the beginning, there was not enough staff to be able to manage all the stuff we as a community threw at them. Now it's in the reverse. There's lots of staff, and there's lots of stuff coming out. It's all we can do as constituencies to keep abreast of things, and let alone fight the battles that we within our own groups feel need to be fought. One of the problems I'm observing, and I've worked with most of you around this table on different issues, how do we get consensus? You know, I say, Greg, I really need your help on this. And Greg says, I'd like to, Ron, but we're so focused on this, not that. So I think this idea of bringing the people around the table from this group having a very serious conversation about what's about to happen over the next couple of days is a great idea. I would suggest that maybe even as most of us around this table fly in on Fridays for those meetings, maybe it's a Friday evening dinner or a cocktail, but it's an idea of getting everyone together, having this conversation, and I think it should just be the leadership group that speaks, so whether it's the chairs, vice chairs, presidents, whatever those people are called within the various groups is fine. And all the rest of the community members from this house would be welcome to be observers, so that, in fact, you can have 10 or 12 people have a conversation within that time period. But I think it's a great idea, and I commend you for that. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. Rafiq, my co-chair.
Yes, supposed to be. I think we have consensus around to have this formal meeting, ICANN meeting. I think we can discuss more details later between the two groups, and we figure out which the best day. We are getting here some feedback before the constituency day, maybe in the beginning of constituency day, maybe in the weekend, so we can discuss and see the pros and the cons, because I don't think we can really decide for now. For example, for me, a Friday, it will be impossible, probably. We have an agreement here, I guess. If I don't see any objection, and then we can move on to that topic.
Okay, thanks. So that's a great summary for the first issue. We've got agreement to do it, to make it work. All we've got to fix is the final detail, how and when it will operate. It won't be for Singapore. It's planned for the first meeting after Singapore, so we've got plenty of time to make that work. And indeed, we could have some further offline discussions in Singapore just to fix the bits that are open. So with that, can we go back to the first issue that Steve raised? And I was aware Bill wanted to comment, and Avery as well. So Bill, over to you. I should give you a mic.
This is Bill Drake, for the record. Hello. I was just, by way of preparation, looking back at some of the emails exchanged 2 years ago when we had a problem, and indeed ended up asking for the Ombudsman to help us resolve it. We don't want to have to go. There's no point in us going back through all the history of that again. It was just for me to refresh my mind as to what had happened and why we were having an issue. It strikes me when we spoke amongst ourselves on the NCSG side about this text that basically this is what we had in mind a couple years ago, so it's kind of hard for us to disagree with it now.
The one concern I had, and I think others shared, was the specification of what a compelling reason for rejecting might be. And I guess we might want to have a little bit more agreement on that point. To me, a compelling reason for rejecting a nominee would not be things like, we don't like the positions they've taken in the GNSO Council, or we don't like the way in which they've advocated those positions, or the strength and vigor with which they've expressed them, things like that. That, to me, shouldn't be an issue. We all have strong views. We all have different positions. That's understood and should be acceptable to all of us. I would think that the only strong, compelling reason for rejecting a nomination suggested from the other side would be, for example, something like, this person has never really participated in GNSO Council work and is just, and hence would not appear to be well qualified to serve the function. That's reasonable. Or this person has, you know, if you had some other kind of gross incompetence that one could agree on, then that would be okay too. But it shouldn't be, to me, a matter of policy preferences, whatever else. We all understand that the vice chair role is actually a fairly administrative role. And so precisely what people's positions have been is really not that germane. What the vice chair has to do is work with another vice chair and the chair in setting up an agenda for meetings and things like that. So it's really not that relevant, in my view, exactly what their views are on any specific GNSO issue. And I would hope that that wouldn't become the basis upon which we would have a contested case. The last time when we did, our suspicion was that that was precisely the kind of problem that we were having. And we wouldn't want to go back there. So I would just put that on the table. The criteria for rejection should be an objective one that is not a subject of policy preferences.
Sure.
Thanks, Bill. I think Avery was next.
Thank you. Aubrey speaking. In one sense, I agree with Bill. We don't want to go back there. But for me, it's going back to this process at all. We tried this process. It was a disaster. It resulted in all kinds of mess. I don't need to go back to the email to remember the disaster that it was. And to me, going back to this process is sort of, we had a process, it failed, now let's be insane about it and go try it again. I think the compelling reasons is part of the crux of the matter. What is compelling reason to one is not compelling reason to another. It requires a juridical act to decide if compelling reason rises to an agreed-upon level of compelling reasons. And I just don't see this method as working. We tried it. I mean, there's a few tweaks in this. It doesn't take 8 votes. It takes 7, you know, but it still has the requirement of one from the other, from stakeholder groups. So it's essentially the same, you know, pattern. So I, you know, at the time we had other discussions, you know, at the time we were having the disaster, people were saying, let's have open nominations, let's have voting, let's have ranked voting, let's have, you know, sequenced voting. And I would much prefer to see us heading towards something like that as opposed to a model we know does not work. Thanks.
Avery, just to qualify on that, you feel that way even if we can get the level of clarification that Bill was referring to?
Yeah, because, okay, as I say, it requires then, even if we spend the time now to come to an agreement on what compelling reason is, we will then have to spend the time interpreting that reason to make sure that your compelling reason, my compelling reason, actually matches the definition. And if we don't want someone from either side, we know it's in our nature, all of our natures, to argue it to the wall. And we will argue it to the wall one way or another. So I really see that we should come up with something that works on a voting mechanism and not on something that requires judgment.
Okay, thanks. John.
Thank you, Tony. This is John Berard from the business constituency. I would argue that the role of the vice chair has become far more substantive and influential as the board has increased its attention on securing point of view from the council. I would also suggest that looking at the GAC consultation group, which was initially a product of the chair and the two vice chairs, which then led to what I think is a groundbreaking change in the relationship between the GNSO Council and the GAC, suggests that the vice chair is far more than the point person on a Rose Bowl parade float. I do think that there is substance in the role, and we should treat it accordingly.
So it's probably time to hear from the vice chair, David.
Right, so David Cake speaking. First, on the role of the vice chair, I think John sort of has it right, actually. The sort of mandated role of the position is fairly administrative, as Bill said, that you help put the meeting agenda together and things like that. But as we are moving into things like a much more collaborative process with the GAC, I think the significance of the role is increasing. And I think that will be something that we, that will become more important. I do think it's not a huge role. I really don't think, from my experience of having been vice chair, I don't think it's worth all the anger that's bitterness that seems to have happened in the past. It's not. I do think that this proposal, I find it a little confusing in some way. I find the voting changes a bit odd, like it requires a bylaws change and so on, but it's actually a very small change that I don't really understand the significance of, because it's the change from 8 to 7 votes required, but the only real significance of the 8 to 7 votes to me seems to be that with 8 votes you need someone from the other stakeholder group, and they've put that requirement back in anyway. So it's a very small change I don't really understand the motivation for. I actually think that this bit about the compelling reasons probably goes in the sort of the opposite direction. This proposal more or less says let's have a strict back and forth rotation. And I think actually what we need is a little bit more sort of input from the two houses and a little more opportunity for the other stakeholder group to have some say. I think what we need to avoid is a situation where one stakeholder group, and I think both stakeholder groups have probably been have done this in the past, have said, well, we've decided on our candidate and it's the member of our 6 councillors, it's the one you want the least. Accept it or not. And I think actually having the opportunity to go, well, actually, your house puts forward, two or three candidates and we'll vote for them or something, some process where at least the other stakeholder group has some say or some more involvement in the process of working out who that will be, if it's going to represent all of us. I understand that it will be, so the one side stakeholder group will have the primary concern, but a process that says one has the primary concern and the other one has to find a really, really, strong reason to reject them is probably going in the opposite direction. I think we probably need a process where there is more dialogue and back and forth about who would be a preferred candidate. Thank you.
Stephanie?
Learn more about the other side, and if that is the case, then a prep call would be really, really helpful. I would like to pick up on what Marilyn was saying. The ICANN, to those of us who want to do that, remember I'm writing a dissertation on it, so it's not like I can't read the document, I hope. It looks like the Manhattan Tea Party now. So to just insert another meeting into that without some prep, and nobody wants more calls, I'm assuming what to do it right now. But I still think that would be necessary so that we could at least come to that meeting, whether we're listening or speaking, and have an appreciation of why people feel so strongly about what they really do. Because it's insider baseball, just in case those of you who've
been in this from the beginning didn't know that. Thanks.
Interestingly, you're the second person that's used that word trust, and I hope after this week that would be something that should be getting a little better anyway. But Dan.
Dan Reed for the record. I want to pick up on the trust issue because as a NOMCOM appointee, part of what I find myself doing is trying to step across what are fundamentally two different worldviews that are represented by the people around this table with a very small degree of practical overlap and what the implications of that mean in practice. And that's fundamentally the issue that underlies these particular topics. And the best way to address that, in my judgment, is to try to build trust and some shared perspective, because then the mechanics become much more easy if you actually achieve those objectives. That's the real issue, is a shared worldview about what we're trying to accomplish. And as long as that isn't resolved, effectively, we're two scorpions in a bottle, to use another metaphor. And no process is going to actually address that problem. The fundamental thing that will address it is a shared understanding about objectives and some mutual trust about the things that people are trying to accomplish to achieve those objectives. Because the business constituency and the non-commercial groups are very different perspectives in timescales and outcomes and necessities and their stakeholders' expectations. And unless we be honest about some of those things, we're never going to reach closure on issues because process won't fix it. And having said that, I think these are reasonable proposals to address those given the realities. But we need to talk about the fundamental issue, and that's what I think the most important thing that could happen at this meeting could be.
Thanks. So, Steve?
Thank you, Tony. Steve Del Bianco with the BC. When Steve Metallitz passed this out, I was actually delighted that early in our two-day meeting together we'd have such a great opportunity to take on something that we would all believe was mutually beneficial, collegial, and that would set the tone for a really positive 2 days. And I sense that it may not be that simple, right? The CSG endorsed these ideas, thinking that they would be better than the status quo. And when I say the status quo, I'm suggesting that the status quo selection of vice chair strikes me as chaotic and might actually lead to less mutual trust. And I think that the lack of interaction probably means that we have a low level of mutual trust in relationships. So I applauded the idea of putting it early in the agenda, but the intention here was to be better than we are today, better than we were last time we selected a vice chair. So let's please compare it to the status quo and not just poke holes in the actual proposal. We may be able to improve the proposal, but ultimately we want to make it better than the status quo.
Well, it is what it is. It is a proposal, and it's there to be discussed. But what I'd like to do is go to Ron, Greg, back to Avery, then to Steve as the proposer, and then to Rafiq as the co-chair.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dan, for bringing that up, and Stephanie. It's really quite true. It is a trust factor. And so as you said that, Dan, you made the comment about what's the fundamental issue. That's when I put my tank card up, and I realized the fundamental thing that we all share, well, some may say, well, you're looking at it from a business perspective, or you're looking at it from an ISP perspective. I think the fundamental issue is that we should all maybe consider our starting point is that we are all, as constituencies or as bodies, looking at this issue from the point of view of users. We're all users. We're the user side of the house. So if we start to look at the policy development as users, we may find we have more commonality than we had, as opposed to say, well, I,
you know, I see that's the BC position. It's not a BC position. It's a BC user perspective. The BC takes the position that we're supposed to be out there looking at the world of the Internet from the point of the view of business users, whereas the non-commercial stakeholder group are looking at it as individual users. But we're all users of the Internet. And I think that's where, if we can build trust around a commonality around this fundamental element, I think we can take some big steps forward, because that's really where we're starting. I don't come at things from a BC point of view. I come at it as, how can we solve this problem within ICANN? How can we solve this Internet problem? But I have a background coming from business as opposed to being an individual. Thank you.
Greg Shatton from the IPC. I think that this is, in a sense, a test of the non-commercial party house, non-contracted, sorry. This is my fourth straight day of meetings, so I'm a little bit foggy, coming off of an intensive work weekend and now having an intensive work week to follow it. In any case, the NCPH, this is a test. This is only a test. Scorpions in a bottle is one. Shotgun marriage is another. It shouldn't be that way. We do need to look for areas of commonality. We have a lot of history. Some of us have been around a long time. Some of us a medium amount. Some are relatively new. Some know all the history. Some lived it. Some are still wondering what it is. Regardless, we shouldn't be prisoners of history. We should try, as we all in the end have to do, to reach consensus, to look for ways to give, not necessarily to fight everything to the wall. Because we certainly can all do that. Until we're blue in the face, what will we accomplish other than to suggest that we've failed the test? Thank you.
Avery?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that to me, this looks like the status quo. So to say we're coming up with something that's different from the status quo, to me, this looks like it. I mean, we may have said it was a temporary solution that we had before, and that temporary has gone by, but this is what we had, essentially. I think the trust, you know, since we're talking about trust, it's important. I think there's lots of trust here among many of the individuals, regardless of which of the constituencies or stakeholder groups they're in. What there tends to be less of is organizational trust. But organizational trust isn't built by saying, let's have it. It isn't built by one meeting. It isn't built by the bonding of individuals. It's something that's built over time. And it's built based on actions of seeing that you can trust an organization to behave. And, you know, and I'm not taking this view from either perspective, because it strikes me that from any perspective you can have that issue. So I don't think there's a test here. I think we pretty much get along as people. And we trust each other as people. You know, we don't expect any of the people here to do anything untoward to us as people. It's an organizational issue. So I really think that we have to look for, though, a method of electing that does not require organizational trust, that somehow gets beyond the do people vote as blocks? Do people not vote as blocks? Well, they're all voting the same, but that's because they all agree, not because they've been forced. That these elections become elections of by individual counselors of whatever. So the notion of coming up with something objective, something that's beyond those organizational politics, like multiple candidates that are nominated by someone that are self-nominated with votes, and I had a long lecture last night on, what was it, option voting or
rank,
right, that there are voting methods that basically allow you to select beyond the immediate biases, beyond that, so that we take this to sort of a more neutral space for having it, where trust or the battle that we happen to have, because while it's true we should not take everything to the wall, we know that there are times when we will. I just think given the nature of the things we support, sometimes they're going to come into opposition. And at those points in time, we are going to be oppositional, even if we're not the rest of the time. And if that happens to be an election period, or that all comes and gets concentrated in an election period. So I really would prefer to see us work on some voting mechanism, nomination and voting mechanism, that sort of takes that partisanship out and leaves it in a voting methodology. So that's just, but as I start, this is the status quo, and it hasn't worked. And I apologize for being the negative voice that destroyed your dream of consensus from the first hour, but I just don't see this.
But at least there's consensus the status quo sucks, right?
Yeah, I think we do have consensus on that, and this is the status quo.
I saw there was one person who hasn't spoken before. I hand back to Steve and Rafiq, because we've got another item on the agenda, so we do need to get somewhere with this. So, Jimson.
Thank you very much. Well, I think the new spirit is very important, and the proposal of Steve is highly welcome. Ivory mentioned something very important about need for more thorough preparation. And this is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I think we should focus on. How we prepare. I take a cue from NONCOM. They have a process whereby if you have a chair, you have chair-elect, and then the chair-elect understudy the chair and things like that. Well, I was looking at maybe if we backtrack, because each constituency really needs to see their vote counts in who represents it. It's quite important. But we could have a scenario or a process whereby we have possible candidates, maybe up to three levels, wherein others can get to have a privy to build confidence. If we have early warning about candidates, we can begin to review and discuss all those issues that affect confidence. So the point I'm making is that we need to prepare candidates well in advance, and it might be over three steps behind. Like as Steve suggested, every year we have each house making suggestions or nomination, then we can have three candidates down the line up to 3 years to vie for that. Because the issue of trust, the way this point, to trust somebody is very, very crucial, and to gain that trust requires real confidence built over preparation and time. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. So the only problem we've got there, of course, is during that cycle, the council has changed. That's the only problem. Steve.
Steve Metallitz. I really just raised my hand to respond to Bill's initial comment. I'm generally in agreement with him about what would constitute a compelling reason. But I think I'm comfortable letting each side decide what is a compelling reason and let them state it. If they decide that as a block they cannot give one vote to the person nominated by the other side, they should state their reason. And do it honestly, and I think I trust the electors from both sides not to abuse that privilege, if you will, knowing also that the result of it is we go back into the chaos a bit, and we don't at that point have a vice chair that we have selected. The other point, two other points. One is, I think this is not the status quo. A change from eight to seven is significant. But finally, on David's comments, I wouldn't be averse to allowing, if it wished, either side to put forward more than one candidate, and then have a vote again with a majority required. I don't know if that would work better or not, but I'm not averse to that change to the proposal, I still think this is the appropriate framework to start from. Thank you.
Rafiq.
Okay. Maybe to add some positive part here. I think in the last year we tried to work between the two, part
Yes, Bill. I think in the last year we tried to work between the two parts of the House regarding the election to organize this intersessional, and it started when we did a common financial request last year. So we tried to improve the relation between CAG and NCAG, and I think we are moving forward. So things are changing. So also we have maybe those meetings, we can have prep call, whatever. We can agree later in more details. Regarding the election, I guess we are not going to find a solution today, but at least maybe from our side we will make a counter-proposal explaining what kind of voting process we see and so on, and some details, and then we can discuss in those details later. I mean, we acknowledge we have some differences about the current proposal from the CAG side, but we can make another one and we find a common ground. So that's my proposal. I mean, we cannot spend more. We cannot find consensus for today, but at least if we agree on timeline, when what we want to achieve, so how we see when we want to finalize the proposal and so on, that can make sense for this time being.
Thanks. I tend to agree with that. I think we do have to try and focus down, because the very worst thing that can happen is we get into the same position we have before, where we have no defined process and we're back into election. So could I ask, is there a chance that, as Steve's put his initial proposal out there, that we could suggest we have some comments back on that, and even from the CSG side, refine it as a result of this conversation? Avery, you were suggesting that there's better ways to doing it. Maybe we could look to have another proposal that puts something else on the table. Could we try and do that by the time we get to Singapore, even if we haven't got an official meeting, so we can continue this discussion there and get something set out before we run into time constraints again? So willingness to do that. Avery?
Just to say sure.
Okay. So if nothing else, it's thrown it out there. Sorry, Bill, over to you. with Mike.
I simply wanted to respond to Steve on the notion of each side defining what's a compelling reason. It seems to me that if we go that route, then we haven't moved anywhere at all. I mean, I think unless we have a shared conception of what a compelling reason constitutes, we haven't made any progress. I assume 2 years ago when you guys rejected the nomination that we put forward, you had a compelling reason. We didn't know what it was, but the person that we were suggesting certainly would have been competent to do the functions of the vice chair. And you guys were pretty adamant that she was not acceptable, and we didn't know why. So compelling reason is obviously going to be in the eye of the beholder unless we have a joint understanding of what it is, and it's going to generate conflict. So if we're not going to resolve this now and we're going to try to carry forward the process, I simply leave it on the table that it would seem to me we need to have a clean, elegant, bounded definition of the conditions under which one side would say no to a proposal from the other side. Otherwise, I just think we're lost, personally. John is itching to say something.
But I'm going to cut him off. Because of time, we've got another item on the agenda here, which is ICANN budget and resources. And we've had a fair discussion on this last issue, so let's work on having further dialogue when we get to Singapore on that. And I was standing over that side to give this roving mic to Rafiq, but whilst I do that, Marilyn, this was something you tabled. I think you maybe should open this discussion.
Thank you. Marilyn Cade speaking, and I think there are others here who are prepared to also comment. I want to address this as two buckets, one bucket being the need for participants in this House to be informed and engaged in the overall strat plan and budget review process. including analyzing the budget overall in terms of a governance issue, and how we can perhaps collaborate in sharing the workload. I'm seated next to the Vice Chair for Finance and Operations for the BC, Jimson. His predecessor, Chris Chaplow, has done a tremendous amount of work for the BC on analyzing and following the budget process. I have also attended and participated in the budget working groups. It is not a simple matter to analyze the ICANN budget and to understand what it is doing and what it is not doing. But analyzing that budget, which to me is a governance issue, is something I'd like to come back to. And I'd like to focus on how the decisions about funding affect us. When we started ICANN, some of you will know that $0 from ICANN went into supporting the GNSO Council work because we had no money. We had a $1.3 million line of credit, four staff, and Mike Roberts' personal credit card. So there's no surprise that there was no ICANN support. We did not have policy staff. In fact, Glenda Saint-Jury, when she was recruited to become the secretariat, was paid by a voluntary contribution of $5,000 U.S. from each of the constituencies, and I acted as the collector of the money. When Tony Holmes, Bruce Tonkin, and I wrote the first draft of the policy counselor job description, and we had no money in the budget to pay them. We have come a very, very long way. ICANN today does provide support to us that allows us not only to effectively participate in policy development, and that is not what I want to focus on, but it also provides resources that we are able to take advantage of to build and strengthen our constituencies and SGs. And that's what I'd like to focus on. In order to get that money, we have to submit requests to ICANN, which are reviewed, and then go into the budget. Among the tools that ICANN provides to us is something called a toolkit, which includes the Adobe Connect, the conference calls, the transcripts, the scheduling of the support that we use both in running our constituencies and in governing our constituencies. The toolkit is in the budget, but the elements of the toolkit are very important for us to be aware of, because ICANN has to put the resources into making sure there's enough people to schedule the transcript, schedule the Adobe Connect, be available. The second thing that ICANN does now, and it is a pilot, is they fund up to 12 hours per week from a secretariat support service that helps us with administrative coordination. There's one person spread across the CSG, Brenda is with us here, and there's another person shared by the other SG. That is a pilot. It's only 12 hours per group. We need to be paying attention to how is that pilot working and ensuring that we're giving feedback, and we're also contributing to managing the use of those resources. The other thing that ICANN does now is, in addition to funding travel for counselors, it also provides up to three travelers per entity. But for most of us, we have four officers, not just three. But if we are now, we are in an open comment, open submission period on the request for support from ICANN. ICANN also now funds the printing of materials. And I will say the BC has been perhaps the most directly aggressive in collaborating with ICANN and in partnering with ICANN to take advantage of resources on materials. You all know that we do a newsletter. One other thing that I will just pass around as an FYI, and I'll send one each direction. Through working with ICANN, not just with the global outreach group, but also with the SSR team, and using some of the BC money, we have been able to actually do major outreach events. We just did one in Cairo, which Jimson will talk about later. But the point is, getting that money into the ICANN budget and designated so that you can then apply for it and be able to use it requires collaboration in putting in the request to ICANN. The more we are totally non-aligned in what we ask for, the more difficult it is for ICANN to allocate money for us to be able to use to build and strengthen our entities. I'm purposely not using the word constituency or SG because we each do this differently. But to me, and preparing these requests is time-consuming, but it's also very important. And if you're not aware of how the process works, happy to spend time with anybody on it. Have copies of the what the requests look like that come in. Then we go through a period where it's processed inside the ICANN budget process. And sometimes we hear after the fact that the allocation is zero, when we would have expected the allocation to have been fulfilled. While ICANN may put money into something else that we didn't really understand what the benefit was. So my proposal is we look at this input process collaboratively. We look at this input process collaboratively, not that we do everything together, but where it's about process, we find better ways to collaborate and share work in two areas. One, the input on the budget requests that affect us, and two, about how we may be able to collaborate in analyzing the overall budget and strat plan. Thank you. I know there are others who are prepared to speak on this as well.
Thanks, Marlene, for this concise briefing. So I think the process started already from the 5th of January and it's going till the 28th of February. So, yes.
Thanks, John Macklin from the IPC, for the record. As I said, I was going to be doing a lot of listening, and Marilyn, I'd like to take you up on your offer to sit down with you and kind of go over the budget and understand that process. I'm new to it all. Having reviewed what was on the ICANN website, it really is hard to get a good understanding of. And so if there are any folks here that have a better understanding, I know Marilyn does, I would appreciate to learn more from you. One of the thoughts that we've had and discussed at the IPC is perhaps using some of the auction funds to help support secretariat support for, I was going to use the word constituencies, but entities. I think not all entities have the same number of members, dues structures, et cetera. Seeing the BC's glossy newsletters getting passed around, whereas the IPC's barely updated its website in probably a year. So we're just a bunch of lawyers. We don't have that that technology experience to do all that fancy marketing. So anyways, we would definitely like, I didn't even know that there was an open comment on the request for support. So that's something that we're very interested in, dialoguing about and understanding more.
So maybe I want to the support to take the opportunity to ask Rob, yes, please. Since we talked about the secretary and so on, so do we have an insurance that we will get that for the next year? It's because for now it's just a pilot project. And also for clarification about the special budget for the non-contracted party house.
Thank you. I promise to give this back. I thought it might be helpful to address some of Marilyn's points and then move into yours. John made a comment, and I wanted to clarify his perception of things as well. The concept of special community budget requests, for some of you who have been in ICANN for a good period of time may recall, happened around the Brussels meeting. Don't ask me what year that is, please. I can't remember. 2010, thank you. You guys are much more savvy to that than I am. Around that time, there were general concerns expressed by the community about the overall budget process, and in particular, the ability for members of the community to come forward and, from at least my perspective and understanding, be able to present and have staff and the board really be able to understand where there might be new opportunities, where there might be new ideas and concepts beyond the existing status quo to be able to provide service and capabilities to the community, not only broadly but individually and specifically. I think everything came to the head at one point where there was this strange convolution of events where basically the comment period actually around the Brussels meeting for the budget literally ended about 12 hours before the board was going to be making the decision, or if it was even that close, I don't know. But that's what prompted the CFO and COO at the time to essentially say, wait, we've got to create some additional mechanism or capability so that there's an ability to have members of the community come forward with new ideas and concepts and be able to very specifically state what their interests were. And that gave birth to what we variably call the SOAC special budget request process, the community special budget request process. The name seems to change, but the concept has remained the same up through now. And I can't speak for Xavier, our CFO, but he has continued the process because he believes it provides an excellent window and opportunity for individual entities, if I can use that term coined by Marilyn, to come forward, because it's not just the GNSO, it's at large, ESSAC, RSAC, the other major communities within ICANN. And so that process is continuing. It's available, John, again this year. Xavier typically reaches out to the SOAC chairs to alert them to this opportunity, and I think the group has expanded over time to include the stakeholder group chairs to let them know that the opportunity is open and available. He typically sends something out in the mid-December time frame, and I know that went out this year as well. The time frame is between now and the end of February, and we'll find and circulate to the group what the wiki connection and link is. The information for where the application form is and what you need to ask about. Clearly, Carlos, myself, Benedetta, and others are more than happy from a staff perspective to work with you on that. Individually, Glenda Saint-Jury, who supports the GNSO Council, also plays a role in conversations with Jonathan and other members of the GNSO about those. But I think that would be very useful again this year for you to have those conversations. I agree with Marilyn that what we have experienced in the past has been individual groups coming forward, individual entities asking for variations along some similar themes, which is great, but sometimes that means we get requests for apples and oranges and bananas and pears, and then when staff responds with fruit salad, nobody's really happy. But what we have been able to do over time is to provide new pilot programs that provide some degree of support. I mean, if we can't give the IPC and the ISPs and the NCSG exactly what they wanted, the thought has been, gee, can we fashion a program that helps provide, granted not everything everyone wanted, but a standard level of service that everybody can sort of buy into or have the capability of using. And I'll use one example from the slides up there. Maybe I'll use two. Oh, heck, I can use all three. One example is this intersessional meeting. This was the product of a number of requests from different groups saying we would like to get together between ICANN public meetings and have a chance to talk and collaborate and come up with decisions. What did that translate into? Well, in addition to the potential financial impact of some of these recommendations, the staff and board also look at, well, what are the resource implications from an HR standpoint, staffing standpoint, and the rest? And we very quickly gathered the perception that we couldn't sponsor and hold individual meetings like this for every group within the calendar and time frame that we had available to us. So what was the fruit salad? The fruit salad was this intersessional meeting of a house or a larger group of community members. And while the first intersessional meeting got some positive reviews, it prompted us to do it again. Now that we've done it twice with this community, maybe it's something that works with other communities. So that's the concept that, that senior staff have had in terms of developing pilots. Another example is the CROP program, Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program. A number of groups would come forward and say, we want to have funding for us to go to this event or to that event. We want to promote our interests someplace else. What did that prompt? That prompted the CROP program, which said we can provide some materials and capabilities, an allocation of trips, if you will, to the community on a broader standpoint. So those are just some examples and sort of a context as to where we are. Thank you, Rafiq. I'll give the microphone back.
Okay, I think we have till the 11 now. We can go beyond that.
A little bit later.
Okay, yeah. So we have Steve and Anthony want to speak. Yeah, Steve?
Thank you. This is Steve Metallitz. This issue does exist in two dimensions. One is, not to be too crass about it, what do we get? What do our constituency stakeholder groups get from ICANN? And the other is the more global picture of how does ICANN raise and spend its money, the bigger budget questions and operating plan questions. I noticed that in the five-year plan, the draft five-year plan that was put out in November, it was stated that the SOAC special request process, what Rob was just describing, will be eliminated after fiscal year 17. And we in the IPC asked, and what will replace it, and how will this be handled in the future? We haven't received an answer yet. I don't know if the non-commercial side had similar concerns, although I know at least one of your leaders filed comments in an individual capacity that raised the same question. What's going to happen after fiscal year 17? So this is an example of where we may have some common interest in getting the process to work better. I'm not going to go through a detailed critique of these community special requests in the right-hand box on the screen, but my sense is that many of them have not worked very well, and there are a lot of improvements that would help both our constituencies within the commercial stakeholder group and the entities on the non-commercial side do their jobs better, bring more people into ICANN actively, and I think this is a fruitful area for us to work together, starting with trying to find out not only improving the process over the next 2 years, but finding out what ICANN plans to replace it with. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Just wanted to respond to you. We shared the same concern in NCAG about the elimination of the program for fiscal year 17, and that raised a lot of concern. Anthony, please.
Yes, for the record, I'm Tony Harris from the ISBCB constituency. Regarding the references to possible application of the funds that are derived from auctions on the new GTLD process, I think we should not overlook one sector that does need these funds, and I'm talking about universal acceptance and the work that should shortly begin to resolve these issues. This is not a minor issue. This is a real-life problem. It's happening, and it needs to be resolved, and it needs resources to be resolved. So we should keep this in mind when there are, I know there are other valid interests applying for these funds, but we should not overlook the fact that some of this money should be dedicated to resolving universal acceptance issues. I mean, that is directly related to new GTLDs, and it's going to affect everybody. Thank you.
Okay. I think we don't have that much time, so we will go with Jameson's intervention, and then we need to go to the other, the last item in for this slot. Yeah, Jameson.
Thank you, Rafiq. Well, I just want to quickly underscore the importance of this subject matter, utilizing the community resources for outreach and for many other things that could broaden the diversity of our house. Well, we've said here that there's a lot of work for us to do now, but we're trying to catch up. So catch up with inputs coming from or output coming from the staff. Well, I think the solution is in diversity, bringing in more people, resourceful people, quality people that could add value. I recall that the effort of BC has yielded some fruits, but we need to do much more across the house. We need to do much more across the house. Like in BC, it's like we are the only one in Africa that are there now. Okay, two. We have increased to two membership from Africa, so it's going to increase down the line. And we need to pay attention. It should not be only for BC, but all other SG, so that we can have capable hands that could really help carry the responsibility forward. At the global level, ICANN is more involved. It needs to be matched with appropriate budget for each constituency or each house to also take the responsibility going forward. Somebody said something sometimes back, that sometimes before, that ICANN was never interested in what was going on everywhere elsewhere. They don't even want to have their name associated with what's going on in Africa. So, and then some still have that sentiment that maybe ICANN is just doing what they want. So we need to spend some time with appropriate budgeting to reach out to other communities or other stakeholders around the world to make the work we want to do in the community more effective and result-oriented. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, Rob, you want to spend something?
Thank you. We need to take a quick 1-minute break, pause.